Welcome to the I Remember podcast.
This is where we slow down for a bit and share the tender mercies we've seen in our lives, those little reminders that God is near.
In the scriptures, God tells us over and over to remember.
So that's what we're here to do.
Welcome to the I Remember podcast. And today our on-the-spot question of the day is, if you could instantly master one skill for the rest of your life, what would it be and why?
Probably academia. School would come so easy, like anything academic.
Oh, that's a good one.
I think, like, the skill of just talking, like, being able to talk perfectly to anybody, like, whoever they are.
Like, it comes across exactly how you want it to every time.
Yes, that would be really cool.
I would say be able to, like, learn any language instantly.
Ooh, yeah.
And be able to speak in any language, wherever you go.
That would be awesome.
I think that'd be cool.
That would be real.
Anyways, I'm so excited to have Sister Finley and Sister Emerson on the podcast today. I am a service missionary in Brigham City, and these two sisters serve in the same zone.
Yes.
And they're both awesome. Love them. And so I'm going to share our I Remember moment of the week. This one's really short, but it was tender. I was walking into the temple. I feel like most of mine just happened at the temple. There's been a few, but it's a good place.
It's the best place to be.
Exactly. And I was walking in and a random lady just stopped me and she's like, I just want to give you this kiss. And I was like, what? And she handed me a chocolate kiss and she was like, you're so beautiful. I was like, oh,
so that sweet. Is so nice.
So nice. So yeah, that was my tender mercy. It was just a little boost. So I got to eat a little chocolate going into the temple.
That's great. That's so nice.
Okay, well, I'm going to have Sister Finlay and Sister Emerson share just a little introduction about themselves and what they like to do.
Okay, I guess I'll go first. I'm Sister Abby Finlay, and I've been serving my mission now for about 11 months. I love to sing. I also play the cello and the piano, and I love anything music. It's my favorite thing.
She's insane.
Oh, thanks.
She's really good at singing.
I love being outdoors and being with my family. That's my favorite things. So, yeah.
And I'm Sister Eden Emerson. I'm also a service missionary in the same zone, and I've been serving for about 11 months, and I really like to bake, to play the piano, and paint.
We kind of just want to give an overview of what a service missionary does, what they are, what they do, and I feel like we get asked this question a lot of like, oh, well, what do you do? Or what's different from proselyting to service missions? So I thought it would be good to talk about what we do and what we love, what's hard, what's amazing, and yeah, it'll be so good. So we'll start with Sister Finlay. Can you just tell us your story up to this point, how you got here, why you're on a mission?
Yeah, so I guess to start off with, I never wanted to serve a mission ever. Like, that just seemed like the worst idea to me. I remember when we dropped my oldest brother off at the MTC, I was just like, I am so glad I'm not him right now. Like, this just sounds awful to me. I don't think I really fully understood why people served missions and just how much good they could do and how someone could love Jesus Christ so much that they would want to, you know, spend 18 months or 2 years to go on a mission. But my junior year of high school, I was able to have really good friends who were super great influences on me and really amazing Christ-like examples to me. And I remember when mission call season came around and I saw them all get their calls and I just wanted to be like them so badly and be able to learn how to love Jesus Christ as much as they did. So that kind of got me thinking about serving a mission a little bit. And then that next summer, I went to FSY and it was the most amazing experience ever. For the first time in my life, I just wanted to go home and teach everybody about Jesus Christ. And that had never been me. I did not like teaching people that much, but I was just filled with overwhelming joy and peace that came from Jesus Christ. And I wanted to share that with people. And so that's kind of like what started me wanting to serve a mission. So that next January, I started my papers. And then May of my senior year, I got my mission call to the Phoenix, Arizona mission. And it just felt so perfect and right. I was so excited. And through all of this, I've had many health problems for the past few years that I've struggled with and just kind of progressively kept getting worse and worse. But every time I thought about serving a mission, I just felt so much peace about it and just thought that everything would be okay. My brother actually did a full-time service mission before me, and kind of the same thing. I was like, I do not want to do that. If I'm going to serve a mission, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to do the real thing.
Sometimes I think there's a stereotype there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
And so it was hard for me to look past that, even though he was such an amazing example to me and the greatest missionary ever. But I just didn't think that that's what I wanted to do. As the months went on, I was supposed to start my mission in October, and I wasn't getting any better, and I just kept feeling like everything was going to be okay. And I remember specifically, like, in my prayers, I'd be like, Heavenly Father, help me to go serve a mission in Arizona, because I just didn't want to have to face the reality that I might have to stay home. I started my first week of home MTC in October, in the end of October, and while I was learning so much spiritually, it was probably one of the hardest weeks of my life, and I didn't understand why I was feeling so much fear and anxiety about serving a mission, and I couldn't feel any peace even though I was, you know, studying about Jesus Christ constantly. And physically, my body was doing so horrible, and just like the reality of what I was about to do was kicking in. And I thought, maybe I can't do this. Maybe I'm not strong enough to do this. So I thought about doing a service mission the Sunday before I was supposed to go to the MTC. And I talked to my parents about it because this was a big decision that I had to make. And then I contacted my stake president and told him about it, and that was the first peace that I felt in that entire week of home MTC, and it just felt so right, and I knew that's exactly what I was supposed to do. So I met with my stake president and transferred to a service mission within like 10 minutes. It was kind of crazy.
Wow.
Just made a couple phone calls, and we were set. Even though I was hurting so much that day, just like physically with all of my problems, and I was so sad that I wasn't able to go out, it was still the most joyful day of my entire life.
Wow.
And I just knew that that's exactly what I was supposed to do. So, yeah, I started my service mission and here we are.
Wow. That is so beautiful, Sister Finley.
That is an amazing story. This is the first time I've heard the whole story, too.
Yeah, same.
I was supposed to be her STL in the MTC. I saw her name on the list, and I just had heard that she had transferred to a service mission, and I didn't know anything about it until now, until I was on it. Yeah. Growing up, I always wanted to serve a mission until probably about my sophomore year of high school. And then I kind of seriously got into running, and I really liked that. And I wanted to run in college, and that was my goal, but also conflicting, I'd wanted to serve a mission. So I still wanted to serve a mission, but I didn't know if that was right for me or running for college because I wanted to do that so bad. So my first year of college, I decided to pray about it, and I decided to look into it more and hear the stories of other missionaries. And I decided that was something I wanted to do. I just felt so much peace, and it felt so right. I actually heard a lot of stories about service missionaries in state conference, and I felt the Spirit so strongly. And I thought it was weird because I wanted to serve a proselyting mission, and it just felt like something I needed to do. And I told my parents, like, wow, these service missionary stories are so inspiring, but I want to serve a proselyting mission. So I turned my papers in for that, and here with Sister Briggs, we got called to the same mission.
So Singapore!
Singapore! And I included Singapore and Malaysia. I just felt so much peace and joy and happiness, and like Christ loved me so much in that moment. And the night before I opened my call, I really wanted to know. I wanted to go out of the U.S. and I wanted to know where I was going. And I just prayed to feel like comfort about wherever I was going because I had no idea where I was going to be going. While I was praying, I just got the impression it will be where you least expect it, but you will love it. Mm. And so when,
that's awesome.
When I opened my call,
that's specific.
I know it was. When I got my call, I thought that was where I least expected it. I didn't think Asia. You know, you never think Asia. Well, I didn't. It turned out that I serve here, which is also where I least expected. But I went into the MTC. It was so peaceful and spiritual and busy, but it was really cool. Probably about a week in, I started feeling really tired and really drained, and I started going to the MTC doctor, and they had no idea what was going on. I like couldn't focus on anything. I was having all of these really, really weird, strange stuff going on. it was really hard to kind of like face the fact that I probably wasn't going to be able to go out, because at the beginning I thought it was something that I was going to figure out, and you know, just maybe my iron's low or something, because it was a little low. So I started taking iron. I just kept getting more and more sick. Like, I was really, really sick. I got sent to specialists, and my parents would come pick me up from the MTC and take me to these specialists. I finally came to face it one day, like a week before I left the MTC, come home, because the doctor sent me home. I was in the shower.
Most peaceful place.
Shower thoughts.
Yes. And I was praying about it in the shower, because, you know, you don't get any alone time with your companion.
And so I was praying about it. I had the most overwhelming sense of peace and comfort that I was going to go home, but it was where I needed to be. And the Lord knew me. It just took so much weight off my shoulders, because I'd been so excited to go serve in the mission I was called to. And I think that's what really got me through the transition between proselyting and service. And it was still hard leaving the MTC, you know, after I went home. But the first time a service mission really came up was my interview when I was leaving the MTC.
Fun fact for a timeline. My district got to the MTC right after her district left. So she was still in the MTC figuring out health stuff. And me and my companion, Sister Harper, became companions with Sister Emerson for her last week in the MTC.
That's so cool.
Full circle moment right
yes,
there.
Really. We're companions again, just yeah. If you wanted to know.
Full circle.
And it was really cool. They were amazing companions. It was so fun. They were also in the interview, like my my last interview. In the interview, he mentioned a service mission, like, we can transfer you from this to a service mission while you figure this out. And I also felt so much peace and so much comfort, just, oh, I don't have to take my badge off, because that was what I was, like, so terrified of. I wanted to be a missionary, right? I'd consecrated the next 18 months to be a missionary. And so that made me so happy and made it a lot easier leaving the MTC. That's my story.
It's awesome.
Thank you for sharing. I love it. Okay, and I'll share a little bit of my story, because I think I gave a brief little, I got a concussion and I'm on a service mission, but I think there's a lot more to that. So I'll also give a quick summary of my story. So I've always wanted to serve a mission. I'd watched all of my older siblings serve missions. It was something that I always wanted to do. And when it really came down to it, I was like, oh, wait, this is getting real. I'm actually gonna leave. And I remember going to the temple and feeling so much peace about serving. And I read the scripture, Mosiah 2:21. And it says, I say unto you that if you should serve him who has created you from the beginning and is preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will, and even supporting you from one moment to another, I say if ye should serve him with all your whole souls, yet you would be unprofitable servants. And I read that in the temple and just felt so much peace that I needed to serve, that I just had a desire to serve God, to thank him for my life, for the life that he gave me, and everything that he's blessed me with. That was kind of my theme going into a mission. And so I got called to the Singapore mission, and I went there. I loved it. I absolutely loved my mission in Singapore. It was amazing. Of course, it was really hard too. I don't want to cover all that up, because it was really hard. But I came to love the people there, and I love my time. So while I was there, during exercise, in just a random morning, we went to the church and played basketball. It was just with the sisters, and I was done playing basketball. I was on the side, pushing the table back where it needed to go, and all of a sudden someone yelled, heads. And I don't know why I didn't think that it was coming my direction, so I did not brace myself, did not look, did not anything. And yeah, the ball came right on my head. I kind of freaked out in the moment, not like actually freaked out, but in my composed self, I mean, I was a little bit emotional, because I knew what that would do to me. I knew how hard it hit, and I knew what that would do, because that was my fifth concussion. I got four just in my life before, and the one before that took about 8 months to heal. And so I knew that that was not going to be good, especially with immediately having a headache after and feeling weird. And I thought it would just take a few weeks, and I was like, it's okay, it'll go away in a few weeks. And it didn't. it kept going and going. I kept going to neurologists and doctors, and they told me I had post-concussion syndrome and that they couldn't really do anything for it there, and that I would just have to just wait. They didn't know if it would be a few months, a few weeks, or years. They couldn't tell me. And that was a little discouraging to hear, but my mission president brought up going and transferring to a service mission, and I was terrified. I did not want to serve a service mission, I think like both of you. And it was just not something that I think actually before I left, I told myself, I was like, I will not serve a service mission. I will not do it. Yeah, God laughed at that statement.
He always does.
Yeah. Here I am. But when he was talking to me about it, my mission president, I felt so much peace. So much peace. And I couldn't believe that I was feeling peace. Because I was like, I should not be feeling peace right now. But I felt so much peace about transferring to a service mission. And then all the voices got in my head of, no, it's not that bad. You can push through. I'd been pushing through for, at that point, 4 weeks. So a month I'd been pushing through migraine every single day, day and night. And I was like, I just can't do it anymore. I can't keep going. I felt like I was letting my companions down, letting God down by not going and going and going. I couldn't keep doing it. So I transferred to a service mission, and I would say the first 3 months were actually the hardest months of my entire life. I couldn't exactly tell you why. I think it was just all the feelings going into it and still having headaches and not knowing the future, not knowing if this was actually God's plan for me, or I was just so confused and felt so alone and helpless. But I would say actually this month, I have truly come to love my mission. There was a point where I did want to take off the tag. That is so heartbreaking for me to even say out loud, but I did. I didn't want to be a missionary anymore. And it wasn't that my desire was gone, but it also did feel like my desire was gone. I think I probably got depressed coming home, and I think that was just really just a very dark time in my life. But I am so glad. I'm so grateful for this experience. God knew I needed it, because I have learned more in the past 4 months than I ever have. And I've learned more about my Savior than I ever have. I've become so much closer to Him and my Heavenly Father because of this experience. And I was telling someone the other day that I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change the experience. Even though at the beginning, I would not have said that. I'd be like, get me back and get me healed. Just heal me. But I can very confidently say that I love wearing the tag every day. I love putting it on. And I think I'd be very, very sad to take it off. Mm-hmm. Because it truly has changed me and will continue to change me. And so that's a little bit of my story and how God was in every single moment. I remember looking up at a mountain one time when I was in a really dark place, and I was reading my scriptures, trying to get something out of it, but feeling just like, what am I even doing? Like, I couldn't feel. And I looked over at a mountain, and I thought, man, I am at the bottom of that mountain. It was a really steep mountain. Really steep, by the way. I was like, I am one little girl at the bottom of that mountain, and all I do is keep falling and falling. Every 3 steps I even try to take, I will never get to the top. And I had a thought come into my head that you're not climbing that mountain alone. Christ is with you every single step of that mountain. He will carry you if He has to. Not even if He has to. He just will. He'll carry you through it. And I have felt Him carrying me every single day up the mountain. The higher up you get, the more beautiful the view, right? Mm-hmm. The more you see how far you've come. So I think it's just so beautiful that we can still serve and become who God has intend us to be through our own personal journeys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I think that was a really beautiful story. And one thing that really resonated with me was that you said the fear of letting other people down, like your companions, after your concussion when maybe you had to stay in sometimes or you couldn't serve to your full capacity. That has been a really real thing, I feel like, sometimes in the service mission, because we all have challenges that might keep us from going out and doing the best that we could otherwise. But we're doing the best that we can now. And with God, that will always be enough. And He will make up for our challenges.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
See you next time for part 2, where we talk about our service missions and what we do.
Helaman 5:9. Oh, remember, remember. Helaman 5:12. Remember, remember. Ether 7:27. He remembered the great things that the Lord had done.
Mosiah 2:41.
Oh, remember, remember.
Helaman 14:30. And now remember, remember.
2 Nephi 25:26. And we talk of Christ, we rejoice in Christ, that our children may know to what source they may look for remission of their sins.